Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Jerry DiNardo, Big Ten Network college football analyst, NCAA. Bullion Hawes, college football expert.
Bullion Hawes, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. It's always a delight to talk to Jerry DiNardo, Big Ten Network analyst, our football expert. Jerry, how are you this morning?
Morning, Jerry.
Oh, I couldn't be any better. Thanks.
It's fun to look at draft classes or whatever, signing classes, and to think about what this means moving forward and how good these teams might be. And you look at the Big Ten, the one that kind of blew my mind a little was actually Ohio State, because obviously you've made a change there, and I saw them ranked nationally like 16th, something like that. They got a lot of big-time players, but they didn't get the depth that you expect, and I wonder how will a 16 class feel in a year or two, and how will they do moving forward without Urban Meyer as the closer?
Yeah, a couple things. I think overall, since the network has began, recruiting has gotten better in the Big Ten. A lot of it was led by when Urban Meyer came here. The Ohio State class is small for a couple of reasons. One, we don't know how many scholarships they have. So that you're limited, obviously, by the number of scholarships you can give. So it's always hard for an outsider really to know how many scholarships they had. If you look at their class, if the three of us would just put the video on and watch some of these guys, and I think you described it perfectly, Molly, it's not very deep, but these are just as good a prospect as they've signed year in and year out. But it is the first time in, I don't know, 6, 7, 8 years that they're not ranked number one. To replace Urban Meyer as a coach is difficult. To replace him as a recruiter may be more difficult. And so that's Ryan Day's challenge. But we're not going to know if this is going to look like Lincoln Riley at Oklahoma or if this is going to look like, you know, Mike Davis when he took over for Bob Knight, or Bob Davey when he took over for Lou Holtz. You know, taking over for legendary coaches as a first-time head coach is always one of the most difficult things you can do in sport. But hats off to Michigan and Penn State, who had the top two classes in the Big Ten.
The early signing date, I think, Jerry, changed some of the dynamic of the last couple of weeks around college football and in the Big Ten. And I felt like yesterday, so it was the first time, though, stick with Ohio State. They introduced Greg Madison, and he's a guy who spent 13 years at Michigan. And you know that rivalry, and you know that the last week in November they're going to refer to him as Coach Addison because the Big M can't be seen or spoken in Columbus. And did that affect the recruiting? What did that say about the coaching industry? Because I think that, you know, we didn't deal with decommitments this year as much as before because of the early signing day. But when you see something like this, it kind of reminds you just, I mean, how the disparity between what the players are or recruits are allowed or you know, to do and not do, and how the coaches do whatever they want.
Yeah, I refer to this yesterday, David, as a teaching moment for next year's class. Okay, two bitter rivals that wouldn't say each other's names on Tuesday, all of a sudden on Wednesday, they're coaching for the bitter rival. This is a business. Greg Madison got a raise. Al Washington got a raise. They're doing what's best for them and their family. And our young student athletes have to realize that a generation ago, this was a educational / athletic adventure. The business part has taken over this endeavor. This is why I'm so much for student rights, student athlete rights. I think you should be able to transfer without penalty. I think you should be able to declare for the NFL, and then if you don't like your draft status, come back. I think if you're Jadeveon Clowney, and after 1 year at South Carolina, you're good enough to play in the NFL, but we're going to say, no, you can't make $6 million for the next 2 years because you haven't been here 3 years. It has nothing to do with graduation. So you're exactly right. I'm hoping young people and high school coaches are watching this thing, where on Tuesday you could hate somebody, and that's a strong word. Let's use it in the sports vernacular. you can hate someone on Tuesday and work for them on Wednesday.
Yeah. I just wondered, though, Jerry, if you did open up, if there were no rules for transfers, or if there was no, you know, waiting a year or anything like that, who wouldn't transfer? I mean, people could make rash decisions. Young people are known to kind of make impulsive decisions. Couldn't you have just absolute chaos with guys transferring and going all over the country? And boy, it'd be tough on coaches to keep everyone happy.
Okay, two things to think about, Mully, when you take that perspective. And it's certainly a perspective. Okay, number one, my belief is most student-athletes are very happy where they are. I think most student-athletes understand the reason they don't get paid financially is because they have been admitted into an institution that they are not ordinarily admissible, just like I was when I went to Notre Dame. The payoff for me was I got into a school because of my athletic ability, as little as it was, not my academic ability, and that is worth something. There's a ton of student athletes, and I would say 90% men and women that are playing in colleges are happy where they are. The second thing, Mully, is there's a transfer portal right now. There's 74 Big Ten football players in the transfer portal. So this portal makes that young person that you're talking about who may make a bad decision, since this is public record, you have to go in and see the head coach to have a discussion. One of the top players at Penn State put his name in the portal and then took it out. That was a great process. That student athlete had a conversation with James Franklin, and I'm going to tell you, if we were a fly in the wall, we would have been impressed with that conversation, both on James's side and on the student athlete's side. Everyone's not going to leave. There's this thinking that everyone's unhappy. That's not true. It's like any other organization. Most of your people are happy, or it's a bad organization. And if it is a bad organization, and it's your child, you'd want your child to be able to transfer if it was a bad organization.
Jerry, let's look at Illinois for a second. What did you think of their recruiting class? And then second, what did you think of the move that Lovie Smith announced yesterday, that he's going to be his own defensive coordinator, and he appointed his son. He promoted his son Miles, and I think in Chicago we have heard that before from Lovie. When he called defensive signals for one season here, didn't go so well. It reminds me of the lawyer who kind of represents himself. You know, has a fool for a client. I don't know if that's the best move for Lovie Smith.
Well, I certainly don't know if it's the best move either, but I do have an opinion. I thought one of the best things that Lovie could have done during the offseason is hire the equivalent on defense that they hired on offense with Rod Smith. Lovie knows more defense than most of – he forgot more defense than most of us will ever know. I get that. But I do think there's a difference between the college and the pro game. I think there's cutting-edge defensive coordinators that have been in the college game all their lives, and I think there's an advantage to that. I also think this about the roster and about him being the defensive coordinator. This kind of crosses in my mind. If you're a pro coach, I think the roster is 52. You guys would know more than me. There's 120 people or 105 people at camp in August when the college football team starts. There's a lot more time that you cannot spend in the defensive meeting rooms. There's young people problems. The NFL doesn't necessarily have as many young people problems. And when I was calling the plays, and when I was a head coach, a young head coach calling the plays, then being the head coach, I can't tell you how many times I had to leave the offensive staff room, had those guys sitting around wasting time because they knew if they made a decision I didn't like, I was going to come back in and change it. So I don't know what's best for Lovie. Outside looking in, I don't know that I would do it that way.
It's fascinating, really, to see him kind of repeat that. I was very interested when I saw that. Northwestern. Jerry, you look at them bringing in a running back. We know that the Shane Larkin thing, Jeremy Larkin last fall, the medical retirement, very sad. Isaiah Bowser really stepped up, but obviously are always needing depth. And so their addition to this class that they put together is a guy that had a 5'11", 183-pounder who adds some speed and adds some depth for them. How important do those late signings become to round out a class when you run into something? Evan Hall, the kid from Maple Grove, Minnesota.
Well, you really never know, right? I mean, the old expression is, I'll let you know in 4 years how the recruiting class is. So, yep. I mean, obviously, that was a good add. The thing that separates Northwestern from the rest of the Big Ten Conference, when I was at Vanderbilt, separated me from the rest of the SEC is obviously the academic component. They can't take anyone that's just immediate eligible. They need some benchmark of grades, which they keep private, which they should. The second thing, nobody ever leaves. I mean, there's one Northwestern guy in the portal. I'm not sure he's a scholarship guy. You have no attrition at places like Northwestern. Everyone is moving quickly towards a degree or an advanced degree. If you're not good enough, this happened at Notre Dame when I was there, when the scholarship limits were a lot higher. When a guy figured out he couldn't play at Notre Dame, he just stayed there. He said, I'm not going anywhere. I mean, this is a degree that I'm going to be able to use the rest of my life. My experience at Vanderbilt, and I think my observations of Northwestern is the same thing. If it doesn't work out football, you'd be crazy to leave that institution. So Fitz does great recruiting, but he has some challenges that nobody else has. And all the other 13 have certain challenges as well. But, Molly, we won't know until we see these guys play. Remember this, only 30% of every recruiting class plays a significant role once they get to college. I mean, that's extraordinary. I mean, 7 of 10 guys aren't going to play a significant role at Ohio State, at Northwestern, at Purdue, everywhere. And if it's not 30%, you're not doing a good enough job recruiting, because the idea is to bring someone better than the guys you brought in last year. So you're always trying to fire, if you will, the guys on your team.
Jerry, before we let you go, I think you mentioned the transfer portal a couple times. For people not familiar with what that necessarily is and how that represents change, that I think is significant to the college football player, student athlete's experience. Could you explain that? And from what I understand, there's 74 Big Ten players right now in the transfer portal. Is that accurate?
That was yesterday. So, I mean, it could have changed overnight. But the transfer portal is a mechanism where some way the student athlete, I'm guessing, goes to compliance. I don't know all the details, Dave, but I do know the concept where, okay, I want to consider transferring. I want to go in the transfer portal. And then I believe that then the other institutions around the country have access to that student athlete, just like you would have access to a high school student athlete. And if you go to the portal, I go to 247 almost every day. I haven't done it this morning yet. There's a drop-down window that has the NCAA portal, and you'll see it'll say school A with a line going to school B, or it'll have Northwestern receiving somebody, or Ohio State receiving the Fields kid from Georgia. So it's pretty interesting to follow. I think it's progress, guys. I don't think there's anything wrong with it. Young people make bad decisions. They make good decisions. I used Troy Aikman, for example, yesterday. He went to Oklahoma. My God, they were running the wishbone. Do you think Troy Aikman didn't do a good job when he went to UCLA? How about Scott Frost? He started out at Stanford. He's now the head coach of Nebraska. The people on Twitter that call these people quitters and breaking contracts, really? Really? 18 to 22-year-old guys that sometimes don't know which way to go in the morning? I mean, we're going to hold them accountable for every one of these decisions. The portal makes it so I have to go in to see the head coach or someone in the administration and explain why I'm unhappy or why I want to leave.
Yeah, I don't want to argue with you, Jerry, because I know you have strong opinions on it. I just worry that there'd be two things, not just guys making rash decisions, but people looking for upgrades. You know, people looking to I'm too good for this program. I need to move to a bigger program. I need to get more attention. You know, there's just, and maybe that should be a consideration. Maybe, you know, it will help my draft status if I transfer over here and play immediately. I don't know. But that would be something I would be concerned about, because I think it's tough to put a football team together.
Yeah, okay. I know. It's going to be tough on the guy making $7 million a year. But he's got to figure it out. Okay? He's just got to figure it out. But don't we go to college to better our life after we leave college? A music student at Indiana's Jacobs School of Music can spend 1 year blowing a trombone in Bloomington and get an offer at Carnegie Hall. That person can come back to college. We're not saying this is over. I saw one guy on Twitter yesterday saying, I'm a Tar Heel for life, but I have 1 year of eligibility. I want to go play somewhere else. What's wrong with that? I mean, I don't think the whole thing's going to fall apart. I think that we're worried about something that says, everyone's unhappy, and I don't believe that. I think mostly I would say everyone is happy. And the second thing is, you know, these young people aren't really quitting. They're making a decision that they think is best, and I just believe they should be allowed to do that without penalty.
Great stuff. Thanks, Jerry. Appreciate it.
Good stuff.
All right, guys. Thanks.
That's Jerry DiNardo.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews, or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.